What is up, everybody? We want to thank today's sponsor for the video, Tokyo Treat. And of course, we want to invite everyone to experience Japan from the comfort of your own homes through these amazing, amazing snack boxes. So Tokyo Treat is a monthly pop Japanese snack subscription box. We're going to get up to 20 exclusive limited edition and seasonal flavored Japanese snacks, including Japanese instant ramen and drinks that are only available for a limited time in Japan. How cool.
So this monthly theme is still cherry blossom season. So it's still cherry season in Japan. Did you know that the beauty of Sakura can be enjoyed not only during the day, but also at night, known as Yozakura? Experience the enchanting beauty of Japan Sakura under the moonlight with Tokyo Treat's special Yozakura box. This month's box features a beautifully designed Yozakura-themed box filled with delightful assortment of Sakura-inspired treats, inviting you to immerse yourself in the Cherry Blossom Festival. And some highlights is Kit Kat Strawberry, which very much looking forward to that one. Sakura Sweet Tart, Sakura Waffle Cookie, Sakura Karinto, and Sakura Cream Cake. Ooh. I think we need to dig in.
I think we need to.
All right, so diving into this box, a fun update for everybody watching since the last time we filmed one. I've always been making the jokes that I don't know how to read anything that's on here, but I'm not gonna try to pretend. I already read the outside of the box, so that wouldn't be impressive. But I'm gonna read this, because I've been working on it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that it might just say, Itadakimasu.
Okay!
Good job!
Yes!
So I have been working on that, but I am a work in progress, like many of us probably are. So if you are like me and you want to be able to read about what's in this box, but you might not know everything that all the labels are saying, the booklet is a great tool to be able to figure out what you're about to eat. And I know that they go into a lot of detail with these books. They always share like what any allergens might be or if something is suitable for vegetarians, which is helpful. So make sure to check out the little booklet. Oh, see, like here's an explanation, Yozakura versus Sakura. So the word Yozakura is made by combining yo, which is the word for night, and Sakura together because it's a special chance to enjoy Sakura in a magical lantern lit atmosphere. Since no cherry blossom festival is complete without delicious snacks, we packed this box full of Yozakura inspired treats to bring a bit of Japan's most popular season straight to you. Get ready to enjoy an epic night of Sakura and snackin' with the Sakura Mitsuri Snack Fest box.
I think, honestly, these Sakura Karinchos might take the cake for me. These were really crunchy. They remind me of like churros almost, but are like Japanese inspired. So I think that's a really creative snack idea. So I think the Sakura Karinchos are it for me.
Those are a close second for me behind the little cake with the cherry filling.
That was yummy.
That was
really good.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that the Karinchos are my favorite too. I think it's like the perfect old school glazed donut kind of taste, but crunchy. But I did like the seaweed chips too for like one of the savory choices.
Those are very good.
And I actually enjoyed the cherry juice a lot too because it's hard to find any like fruit juice in America that actually tastes like the fruit that it came from. But this actually does taste like biting into a fresh cherry. So I thought that was really fun and different. Thank you so much again to Tokyo Treat for sponsoring today's episode of the Hashira Half Hour. Don't forget that if you are interested in getting your own Tokyo Treat box and sharing it with your friends, just like we got to today, you can use code Hashira for $5 off of your first box. And let's go ahead and jump into today's episode.
Welcome, folks. We are taking another new adventure, and we are so glad to have you along with us. So without further ado, let us kick back and dive in to Chainsaw Man.
What's up, everyone? Excited to bring yet another new anime. When one door closes of Attack on Titan, another one opens to Chainsaw Man. So excited to talk about this one. It's definitely different than what I would normally want to talk about, but I'm excited.
I'm excited too. As Hannah said, when one door closes, another one opens. When one door opens, another closes. And both of those doors are at MAPPA. And here we are. So very excited to talk about Chainsaw Man, which is another gem in their crown for sure. This is probably going to make me sound pretty tame, but like one of the wilder shows that I've watched. So
All right. Well, let's just start off the conversation here, right, by saying where we are with the story. I'll go ahead and start. So I am actually a manga reader, and I am on volume 14 of the manga. I am not current. I've been thinking about trying to get current. I'm about 40 chapters behind from current, so we'll see. But like Hannah and Emily have stated, this is a pretty wild story, and it goes bonkers. I cannot wait for the Reze arc.
Yeah, I have not read any of the manga yet. Well, that's not true. I think I've read like the first couple of volumes, but I'm not caught up, so I need to catch up. It's been busy. There's a lot of shows to watch, a lot of things to read, but I just got to watch it as it came out last year. I think it was late last year that the show first aired, and I really enjoyed it, and it's been fun because Tom really loves Chainsaw Man, and he has been keeping up with the manga, so he's having, for once, that, like, turntable moment of, like, him looking at me like this, like, waiting for my reaction to things, and it's usually the other way around, so that's been kind of fun.
It doesn't surprise me that this is one of Tom's favorites, with JJK being up there for him, too, like, checks
he
out.
He is, like, a JJK, Chainsaw Man, One Punch Man kind of guy, so... He likes watching other people get hurt. That sounds terrible.
No.
That's not true. That's not true. Only if they're 2D. Only if they're 2D.
Only if they're 2D. I am completely anime only. I have not touched the manga yet, even though Brian so nicely let me borrow some of the volumes literally like over a year ago. I'm sorry, Brian.
It's fine.
I do want to read it. I do. I just... there's others that I guess I've been wanting to read more. So it's kind of been shelved, literally. I keep looking at it on my shelf thinking I should probably pull that down. But I actually, on this one, haven't really been spoiled either. So that's a little bit different from Jujutsu Kaisen, is I was very much, and I still am because I haven't caught up on that one yet, very spoiled throughout the season. This time, I don't know anything post the end of season one. So I'm really excited to... maybe read it. Maybe I'll just stay true to my anime only on this and be the anime only person to make the conversation fun. But I did stay true all the way through the end of the season, the Shibuya season of JJK. So maybe I can do it this time since I know it's coming out soon. I did not notice any American references. I will admit, though, the first time I watched this was with Jordan, and he is a OP skipper. We watched it once and that was it. So I never really paid super close attention to it. I did rewatch it when I just rewatched the first episode to record this, and I wasn't really paying attention for American culture, but I did notice just how like really beautiful the visuals are. I don't know if beautiful is the right word. It is a very eye-catching OP, from the song to the visuals. I would say it's really high up there as far as just a really good OP in general.
100%. This is probably one of my favorite anime OPs ever, and it certainly falls into that bucket of like the, in my opinion, the more contemporary sounding songs that they're beginning to use as anime OPs, because I feel like when I started a long time ago watching animes, it was like if I had just like played the song for somebody, it's like you would 1000% know that this was from an anime. Now, in my opinion, I think that they sound like something that could be played on like a more contemporary like radio station that just happened to also be an OP. And I think that they're beginning to hire like more artists that are like in the mainstream that are Japanese artists. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case here. Wouldn't be surprised if it is, because the song is absolutely incredible. It's so catchy. And I love this animated sequence. Now, yes, I did notice a lot of the American references, and a lot of that also is due to the teachings of Tom, because if there's one thing that that boy loves more than 2D characters in pain, it's American films and cinema, and foreign films and cinema. And so every shot in this opening sequence is inspired by some of the greatest movies of all time. So you notice that it like kind of flips through a lot of them a lot. There's like references to Constantine. There's references to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's references to No Country for Old Men. All of these incredible movies are directly reflected in this opening, which I think is a lot of fun, because Chainsaw Man as a story so far seems to kind of flip some of those notions on their head of like traditional storytelling, and yet here we have like some of the best examples of visual storytelling inspired in the visuals of the opening. So I love it.
Yeah. I think the, even though I've never seen Fight Club, I think the ball rolling through the street was a great one. And I also haven't seen Thor Love and Thunder, but I mean, who doesn't love power? Because that was a nice shot of power. So I think there's a lot to like in the opening. So I really am glad we are talking about this. And, you know, hopefully maybe we'll get some manga readers out of this conversation. Who knows? But this story is a part of the Dark Trio for a reason. And the first few minutes of the show definitely tells us that for a myriad of reasons. We hear about how Denji is selling his body parts for money. How does his demeanor and overall vibe compare to other MCs that we've seen and come to know?
This is a really good question. I definitely feel like Denji makes sense in the context of the Dark Three, because in some ways I would say that he does remind me of Yuji. Like they both have like a pretty cheerful attitude, at least in the first few moments, even though the circumstances are kind of grim. You know, some of the first scenes in JJK, we see Yuji like lose his grandpa right away and then get sucked into kind of some crazy stuff. But he still has this like kind of golden retriever attitude. And I'd say that Denji's is similar to that, but it's not the same. I definitely think that there's more of a melancholy about Denji. And we, you know, if we're only going to talk about the first few moments, it's hard to say. But generally throughout the episode, I also think that he is maybe a touch simpler in what he wants to accomplish. Like if you had to have both of them speak like a tangible goal into the ether, like I think that Denji's goal would be more immediate and more simple than Yuji's might be, but that they might have a similar approach, and that they're both like relatively sunshine boys given the environment that they are presently in.
Yeah, his vibes are definitely different. Like things that I can think to compare to, I'll go kind of the Demon Slayer route. Something that is very different is that, like, obviously we're gonna see, you know, the regular shonen trauma happen in this episode, but he doesn't start out happy necessarily. Like, he's just kind of been dealt a bad hand, and it's his life, you know, because he's selling his body parts because he has this debt that he's paying off, and he doesn't really seem to have like super high level goals, kind of like what Emily said. He just kind of is trying to just keep surviving each day because that's all he can do, and it's like he has no money. He is selling every body part that he can give up so that he can make more money. And then he still said he owed all this money after he sold all those body parts. So it definitely feels a lot just like, oh, this is kind of a really sad start. It's not like that typical shonen, like, oh, everyone's happy. And, you know, you look at your spouse while you're watching this going, this isn't going to stay this way. It's already sad. So you wonder what else can happen, essentially. So I feel bad for Denji. Like, I already feel bad for him just in the first few words that he says, because it's clear that the situation that he's in is not a situation that a kid his age should be in at all. But he still tries to be positive. Like, he still is a little silly, a little sunshine like, and, you know, he can hold on to the little things, but there's not much there already.
Yeah, I really think that Denji is interesting because he plays such like a, I guess you could call it like a juxtaposition, like the contrast of like the two things that are similar to each other, like how, you know, Tanjiro and Yuji probably are a little bit more similar to each other because of how like happy they were at one point. But like Denji's never really had that happiness. So like he's still a little bit brighter than what we would expect from him, but still has that difference that really highlights about him. So that's what I kind of like about this MC specifically. And as we learn more about his backstory, it's revealed that his father's debt has been passed on to him. So that's why he lives a very poor life and eats bread as his main meal. His luck turns up a little bit, though, as he meets a devil who makes a contract with to get more money and starts to fight devils. What do you think of the fan favorite Pochita and his overall character design?
Oh, Pochita. Sweet, sweet Pochita. He was all over my newsfeed, and I didn't watch Chainsaw Man until well after it had been over and done, like the anime season.
but he was everywhere. And I was like, what is this sweet, sweet dog animal? And I like how they introduced it. You know, we see more of Denji's past and we see more of that, like, okay, yeah, the debt that he's selling off is not even his debt. It's his father's, that, and his father just got out of it and put it all on his son. And so as he thinks he's just going to die and he sees Pochita, who thinks he's going to die, like, the pact that they made is really sweet, honestly. And it's just a cute little creature. You can't complain about the cute little creatures.
He's so cute. He might be second for me as far as, like, I'm a sucker for cute little animal, like, side characters. I have to put it out there. I'm going to let y'all finish. But Chopper is the cutest animal side character of all time. That being said,
oh no,
but I do love Pochita. He's so, so cute. We're gonna get to see him for a really long time, right?
I thought so.
I thought so too.
He was all over the internet.
We're gonna get there, and I know that there are flashbacks, but we will get to that. However, he is precious. I would protect him at all costs. And I thought, yeah, I agree. His intro was really cute. And, like, it was kind of sad also that he's, like, there all, like, literally bloody and defeated at the same time that Denji's, like, all emotionally defeated. And so they're able to, like, fill something in each other that they both need. Which I do think continues to be true throughout the rest of the story. So he is important, even if not visible. But I love when he's visible because he's so cute.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way, where they fill each other's needs until you just said that. So that was a really interesting way. Speaking of filling each other's needs, eventually the people who Denji owes his debt to lead him to an abandoned warehouse where some unfortunate things happen as he is stabbed. And some really interesting things come out of this. So let's just talk about the kind of chain of events that happens from here.
This, I thought at first, was a really tragic scene because the way that it was presented was very much like a horror film, and also sad because it's like, oh, he's getting, like, turned on, and we had just seen Denji a few minutes ago kind of get, like, stopped by them on the side of the street, and the guy's, like, taunting him that's driving the car, that's like, I'll give you essentially, like, a dollar if you eat this cigarette, and Denji's so broke that he's like, okay, sounds good. And so they're just like, they just don't take him seriously. He's, like, less than to them. And so they're like, but he is a good, loyal worker who works for dirt cheap. So we'll let him stick around. And then it kind of, like, flips on its head and they're like, oh, not good enough. So we're going to have to take you out. But what is then revealed is that it's not really these people and that they also tried to make a pact with the zombie devil at this point. And so it goes from being this, like, tragic, sad moment to a full-on horror movie moment, because it's like they're no longer in their right minds. They're part of this, like, greater creature. And it turns pretty gruesome pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking the whole time. You know, going back to what I was saying about Denji's introduction, there was no happiness. I was like, okay, maybe nothing too bad is going to happen in the first episode then. You know, I've watched a few shonens now that have a pretty, you know, chill opening episode. I've been like, okay, maybe not every single one of them has to start with trauma. I've never been more wrong in my life. It was really shocking, honestly. From everything from, you know, it seeming like the person that was, you know, that he owed the debt to seemed very, like, almost like he cared about him. Some of his lines was very like, yeah, he's loyal, like he's like a dog, but it was almost like he genuinely had grown to kind of care for him a little bit. And then for him to just be like, oh, I made a pact with this zombie devil, and yeah, and Denji sitting there with a stab wound in his back, and I'm like, okay, where do we go from here? Because, like, this is the main character, obviously. And yeah, I agree. It's very horror film vibes. And I'm not a horror film watcher at all. I don't do horror. I try to be entertained at least a little bit. I'll admit I tend to lean towards the shows where I'm crying more than I'm laughing. But I don't like jump scares. I think that's why I don't watch horror movies. To see him just, like, get chased around and then cut to bits as he, like, screamed. When I was watching this, all I could think about was just, like, he's still alive. How painful. How painful it is to just, like, cut yourself with, like, a dull knife. And, like, he's, like, getting constantly just stabbed. They're chopping his...
That was vocal performance, by the way.
Take a moment to say, this voice actor of Denji, this is, like, his first big role. He is a very new voice actor. And I would have never guessed. I would have guessed that this man has been in this job for a while. Like, he's very seasoned because of the screaming and just the way he was voice acting. And I could be wrong, but it might be like his very first job in general. You know, maybe a few side parts here and there, but definitely his first main character. He absolutely killed it.
Great job.
He did, truly. And yeah, it was just a crazy turn of events. I don't know how far we're going, but it was really beautiful to see Pochita, you know, give his body to him, essentially give his heart to him. But it was very bittersweet because this is when I was like, okay, this character has been everywhere, but it seems like he's like the design of the character is going away. Like the character himself is living on through Denji, but it was like, it was the perfect depiction of the loyalty of an animal, in my opinion, you know, like, especially like my dog is a lab, right? And they say that if a lab's owner died in their house and stopped feeding the dog, so the dog was literally starving, the lab will die before they start like eating the person, because most animals have to do that to survive. And they say that labs will never do that. Most other animals will. And so I kind of was like, oh, Pochita's kind of like a little lab. Like, he would rather literally give up his life to save him rather than, you know, go fend for himself. And it was really beautiful.
That's interesting because he is still a devil. And so it makes you wonder, like, what are the lines of, like, devil versus human? And I imagine that'll continue to be a very large theme throughout the rest of the show.
It's already blurring that line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, there's like a little bit of like very dark comedy here too, because part of the dialogue is Poch just like, I loved listening to you talk about your dreams. I want to make sure that you get to go do that, which sounds so inspirational, right? Like, that's so nice. But then if we like actually think about what Denji was saying, he's like, I just want to score with a girl before I die. Is that too much to ask for? Poch just like, yeah.
I'm going to give my life for that goal.
I'll have what he's having. But also, I am just going to give the shout out real quick before we completely move away from this. Shows now that are willing to do something like kill their main character immediately would not be happening without Attack on Titan.
Nope. So, and we're seeing it happen a lot. We're seeing it happen a lot.
In like the first couple episodes, this was the first episode. It's like, okay.
So I was like, man, this is starting different from another shonen, because a lot of shonens get trauma by losing people. No, he died.
Like, in like himself. The worst way.
Yeah.
The only other way that might be similar would probably be getting eaten by a titan. Top two worst ways to die, for sure.
I think that this is a really nice scene. I think that this, you guys both really surmised it well. And I think that we had a really good climax to the episode as well. Because the action that came out of that scene following when he wakes up. So let's talk about kind of like just the action scene that kind of came out of that from there. Like, what did you guys think of our first like full blown like fight sequence out of Chainsaw Man?
Can I say something highly controversial that might make people mad? I think it's better than most of the fight scenes in Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh, I think that's fair. I think that Chainsaw Man is MAPPA at their absolute best, to be honest, when it comes to animation.
I say that a little bit as a joke, because, you know, I'm always someone who's like, don't compare action scenes. And I think it's clear that, like, the most recent season of JJK, the circumstances were not good. And I don't ever want to be that person that's like, oh, this animation is horrible because these animators were literally working 20-hour days, you know. But I think more of just like the way the fight scene was done narratively and like story wise, I felt more like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Like, this is insane. than I've felt with a lot of other shows. There's only two other shows that have actually gotten me to that point of like leaning forward being like, what? And we all know what those two shows are. It's Demon Slayer and Attack on Titan. So it was, yeah, a really just well animated, well choreographed, very gory, like very, very gory, which I almost am getting to that point in my life where I like that better because like he's a chainsaw now. Like it's going to be freaking gory. So it's realistic too, you know? Like we're seeing arms flying around. We're seeing heads flying around. Like they're not censoring anything. And honestly, I like it.
Oh yeah, it's like absolutely rank. It's like, it is like made to fulfill those like very base human desires to like watch something like this. But that's like, it knows exactly what it is. The show is called Chainsaw Man. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you were expecting going into it. If you thought it was going to be cute, but it's like, I think that I agree. We also know that MAPPA put a lot of work into this. And I think that if I'm not mistaken, they kind of held off on like most of the updates on it until it was already basically done and ready to come out. And it also was only 12 episodes. JJK was 20 something again, two seasons in a row, which is not the norm anymore either, I feel like. And also, fun fact, at the time we're recording this, March 25th, I think that the Blu-ray in Japan has dropped for JJK season 2, and I've heard that most things have been reanimated, and what I've seen looks amazing. I will have to give it for sure a rewatch because those circumstances sucked for the animators, and I don't think it was like that, at least not to the extent for this season of Chainsaw Man. We'll have to see what happens and like how the quality level continues with future seasons of Chainsaw Man, which I've not heard anything about yet as far as like a release date, I don't think. So
we know the Reze arc movie. So it's going to be.
That's true.
They're following the Demon Slayer pattern where you do a season, a movie, a season.
We're going to start getting world tours of everything.
I'm all for it. Listen.
Me too. Me too, man.
Especially if this is that voice actor's first role. Could you imagine how incredible that would be for him?
To start to get to like travel the world.
Yeah. And And we're going to give a shout out as well to this dub actor. This is some of the funniest dub I've ever seen. And I did not watch this in dub, by the way. That's just how popular some of these clips were from the show, that they were like everywhere online. And I know that he just won like the Crunchyroll Award for like best dub voice actor. And I'm like, you know what? That is well deserved, because it can be really hard to find comedic timing as a voice actor for something that's animated. And he does a really, really good job, especially because it's a very dark kind of comedy that's in this show. We are way off track, but.
And while we're at it, I'm looking him up. So the voice actor for Denji and Sub, his name is Toya Kikunosuke. And this was his very first role ever.
That's awesome.
This is the very first anime ever credited to him. That's impressive. That is super impressive. So yeah, I hope it starts getting world tours and he gets to tour the world and more voice actors get to tour the world and be world travelers and just get to experience all this stuff because they all deserve it. I know I'm such a big Hanae-san fan, but they all deserve that.
Hell yeah, they do. Anyway, to wrap up my thoughts on the fight, very good, very bloody, very organs and limbs everywhere. But also, like, this is, again, Denji getting to be kind of funny for a second, because he's like, wait, like, this is great. And he's, like, made of three chainsaws now, and is like, if I cut all these people up, I don't have to pay shit. And then he just, like, goes even more nuts, and I'm like, honestly? Kind of relatable.
Yeah.
Kind of relatable. Except not. great, great, great fight sequence to kick us off.
Awesome.
I'll say it. It's like Giyu almost, you know, like Giyu was put in the situation where he's brought this demon and it seems like the demon is not necessarily what they normally are like. And so he was like, all right, be a demon slayer, like prove that you can protect humanity rather than kill people. And this chick that's very mysterious, pink hair, very interesting eyes, is like kind of saying the same thing. you can just die as one of them, or, you know, you want to come work for me? Be a devil hunter, demon slayer, devil hunter. I mean, come on. So it's exciting, you know? It's the call to action that we always look for in the first episode of a show.
My immediate reaction to this group was that I didn't trust them, which is interesting. And again, I think kind of ties back to the theme of like, who are really the devils and who are really the humans or like the hunters. But I think it says something where like these people entering in some way almost gave me a similar ominous feeling to like him walking in the first place. Obviously that was more like a horror film, but you know, then we do see Makima for the first time. And her character design, like Hannah said, is incredible. And there's like this theme of characters in other animes, especially with like very specific designs in their eyes, that it's like, okay, there's going to be something important. And part of whatever she has going on probably has to do with her eyes or like her sense of vision. There's probably some kind of ability that we're going to learn about. But I still just didn't trust them right away because I think like Denji's story, if anything, has proven that it's kind of like every man for himself in this sort of post-apocalyptic world that we're seeing he's in. So I'll believe it when I see it. But it does make sense that regardless of whether he goes with them or not, he's now going to really have to decide like which side are you on in the immediate and in the long term. Are you more devil or are you more human? Or are you Tiny Dancer?
That was good.
10 out of 10.
Right. I've done better. It's okay.
So as we turn into episode 2, because this is a twofer, folks, you're getting 2-for-1 here. So I want to talk about something that Chainsaw Man does different from other animes, and that is that every closing for the show is different. Do you think more anime should follow this trend, or do you like to stick to one ending?
Selfishly, I loved this because it gives you the opportunity to have 12 different outro tracks to listen to and 12 beautiful sequences to watch. So I loved this approach. I also have never seen anything like this for an anime before, but it almost feels like an art gallery of like different works from all these people. So I loved watching it. But that being said, like if it comes at the cost of the animators losing time, money, sleep, not seeing their families because they're pulling double duty on like trying to add this extra thing and also work on maybe like some of these other shows, then I would say no. I think selfishly, yes. For the group, probably not. But I loved getting to see it while it's here. I'm glad that it's in the history books.
Ditto. Honestly, I don't have much else to say. I agree. I think like selfishly, it was really cool to see a different ED for each one, but my brain always goes to like how much work the animators are going through to animate a completely new ending credits for every single episode and how much money they're probably possibly even taking from the budget of animation to give to the bands that are recording new songs for each one, whatever, you know. It's really cool, but I don't know. Was it the same song? And no. Just different visuals? No, it's different.
I think
songs.
It was all different songs. Yep.
See, this is the hard part for me too, because like I said, Jordan is a big OP skipper. He's also a big ED skipper. So I think I didn't even know that was happening until after we watched it all the way through, and I read somewhere that it was like that. So, but yeah, it's
one caveat I could add to that though is that if they were willing, clearly they hired 12 different musical artists to like craft all these different songs. And this, maybe this was the case and I just didn't do enough research before we started recording this episode, but if they were able to hire some animators that were from outside of the studio to like help contribute, then I think that that's a totally viable option, and to like give some freelancers or something like a platform to show their cool and like unique style art.
Very true. And a lot of studios do that. They use freelancers, especially on like credits, I think.
As we see this episode open, Denji is in the car with a girl who we come to know as Makima. Eyes are the classic anime trope of being a cool design. Now, we hear Denji's tummy rumbles loudly, but the girl seems unfazed as they talk about Denji will be her dog, and the dogs only respond with yes and or woof. Did this seem off-putting to you?
Yes. I was like, because the same as like what Emily mentioned, I'm already like not fully trusting because like the way she walked up, it like I was like, you know, And to be honest, the same thing happened to me in the beginning of Demon Slayer. Like, I did not trust Giyu. I was like, who is this man and why is he doing this? Apparently, he's fine. So, like, Makima, I don't know. Giyu also wasn't, like, doing anything like that. So, but interesting that you called out the eyes, because I agree. It's a trope of anime. Usually, characters with big, different eyes, there's some kind of meaning behind that. So, I don't know. I can't remember if there's ever a time in the anime where it shows anything about that, but it's a cool thing to look forward to. And her saying yes or woof.
Yeah. I mean, is it like out of bounds for Denji to agree to something like this? Like, I don't think so, because we just watched him like eat a cigarette for a dollar like 15 minutes ago, right? So not terribly surprising. Is it off-putting? Absolutely. Because again, we have established that people in this world are, I don't know, they treat each other very poorly. And so it's funny that she picked Dog, especially because, like, he's now merged with Pochta. I guess that's, like, a little bit funny. I think that she's probably referring more so to, like, the fact that he's not fully human in her view, and he is, like, less than. Both because he is this kind of like hybrid now between a human and a devil, but also because he clearly has like grown under very different circumstances than her, has probably lived a much more impoverished life, and is kind of like a kid from the slums. I think she's like read him pretty quickly, but it still feels, something about it still feels like even more icky than just that, because there's also almost like this kind of sexual undercurrent that's happening between the two of them as well. Because he is otherwise kind of a normal teenage boy that is, like, not really around girls a lot. And she's very pretty. And so he feels some kind of way about that. And she's, like, taking advantage of that as well. So the use of, like, this language in particular is, like, it feels like something's, like, almost, like, on display that we're not really supposed to be watching. It's kind of interesting. Kind of gross.
Yeah, because we eventually see Denji pass out. And Makima ends up feeding him his udon, every teenage boy's dream. I will have to be honest, though, scenes like this almost made me drop the show at episode 3. So I almost didn't come to love this show that I really actually enjoy now. But she eventually says she's into Denji-type boys. Do you think this is a ploy, or is she actually into him?
No. Never in a million years is she into him. But he's extremely easy to manipulate, and so she's just, like, working her wiles immediately. Because he's like, an open book, like we just said. We as the audience already know his goals. And this is, like, and for him, like we discussed at the beginning, like, he's like, I'm gonna look for the simplest way to get there. And he's like, I'm in love with her. And it's like, obviously we know that he's not in love with her, and she's just the first thing that showed up. But that's dangerous for him right now, because she's also, like, attached to these other luxuries that are being offered to him, like a warm bowl of food, when he has only eaten, like, maybe bread and some cigarettes, if he's lucky, so far. And it's not even, like, good food. It's, like, gas station udon. And she's like, I've never seen somebody so happy for this. And it's just her looking down on him this whole time. Yeah, I don't know. There's absolutely no way that she's into him, but she's manipulating him because she recognizes that there's something that can be useful to her.
I agree. The moment she said Denji type, I was like, absolutely not. There's, like, she is 100% manipulating him. He is her dog that she's training, essentially. Like, and to train a dog, you have to compliment them and make them, you know, she's playing the game. She's playing the game. And she knows that he can be of use to her. And because he's so easy to train and so easy to manipulate, it's easy to just be like, what kind of guy is my type? Definitely your type. Exactly like you. And watch as he just starts wagging his tail. You know, she's manipulating him. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Accurate. All about the mommy issues. No more daddy issues. It's mommy issues in 2024. So we make it back to the Devil Hunters Association, where we meet a new character, fan favorite Aki Hayakawa, who ends up actually beating the crap out of Denji. Let's talk about their interaction in the alleyway as they're on patrol together.
Okay, did he beat the crap out of Denji, or did Denji beat the crap out of him? Because, oh my god, I was watching this, and I'm a girl, so I don't fully understand what that feels like. But my goodness, Denji was just going for low blow after low blow. His fighting style, it makes sense, but it was like, oh, you are tough. Spoiler alert, Aki is my favorite character. So, excited to see what else is to come, but Denji 100% won that fight.
Aki is also my favorite character in Chainsaw Man. So, spoiler alert there. But I actually kind of love this for them, because I'm like, the men in this show in some ways are just like so simple, and it's like, okay, I don't like you, you don't like me, we just met, we're gonna work this out with our fists right now. And I love that dynamic of like, okay, we beat the crap out of each other and now we're best friends. It's not that fast, but we'll get there. And I just think that's like a hysterical dynamic. So who won? I did, because I got to watch it. So
Emily's full of it today.
What can I say?
A fountain of wisdom. As they make it back to the DHA office, Makima announces that they're going to be working together, specifically with Denji. And this doesn't seem well to bode for the group. Does it?
I mean, I think it's probably good for Denji, because he really needs something to root him in reality. I think it's terrible for Aki, who's already smoking a pack a day. And then I'm like, I'm just imagining him, like, watching him, and he's, like, standing there, like, the Ben Affleck meme with, like, the Dunkin' Donuts outside and the cigarette.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's Aki the entire time, because he has to be, like, he has to play daycare now, essentially, with this street rat kind of character that is a nice boy, but he needs to learn some manners. He needs to eat something, and he's going to eat a lot, like a teenage boy, and he needs a bath because he is stinky.
That's what I was thinking about. I was like, was Denji bathing, like, at all?
Probably not.
No.
Although he did say he paid the water bill, so maybe he was. Maybe he was.
Okay, maybe he was. Anyway, I agree. I think it does. I think Denji's fine with it, honestly. Like, he was a little bit like, I have to, like, work under him and not you, Makima. But that's also just him being like, I want to work with Makima, not some dude. Like, because he wants to cop a feel, you know? That's what he wants, is he wants... You know, that meme that's like all these shonen MCs. I want to avenge my family. I want to save my sister. I want to become the number one hero. I want to become the Wizard King. I want to touch some boobs. Denji
needs Aki. It doesn't get more simple than that.
Denji needs Aki. Aki needs a break already. So we'll see how that goes.
Next, we get a scene of Denji living the good life. And this honestly is so funny. What's your favorite moment of him finally living a life that he's always dreamed of? Mine was the toast. Because what does it say about Denji that he can enjoy such a small thing to a great extent?
So, not to make another Demon Slayer reference, but he very much reminded me of, like, Inosuke in this, where it's like, it's not as intense as, like, Inosuke, like, being raised by boars and literally, like, not really understanding human interactions because he'd never really had any. But he still was reminding me of that, because it was like, this is a kid that lived in a shed with his little devil, you know, and all he did in life was try to make money in very bad ways because it was the only way he could do anything. And he's like, exploring what it's like to live in an apartment like normal. And so you can only imagine that he would be loud and obnoxious and not know how to change the toilet paper and be like super excited about all the different jams he could put on his toast. Like, he's exploring the new world. And of course, that's annoying to a person that like can't really see his perspective at this point. But it's almost kind of cute because it's like, wow, he actually gets to live like a normal human being. And of course, because he's never gotten been able to do that, nor has any knowledge really, he has to explore that first. And maybe sometimes that means a neighbor yelling at you or something, or your roommate yelling at you. And I thought that was actually like, it was supposed to be like super funny and stuff, but I was like, oh, that's like really cute.
It was cute. It was very pure. Got the chance to like regress to his childhood a little bit and experience some of those things in a safe environment that he's never had. And with his body restored, which is kind of nice. So he can go have a beer and not be worried about that now, because he should, I believe, have both of his kidneys back after selling that one that we talked about. But it's even simpler than that. Like Hannah said, it's the bath. It's singing loud in the bath. It's taking forever in there. It's using all the toilet paper. It's putting 17 kinds of jam on the toast. And it's like, are all those things going to be good? Probably not. But he needs to learn that for himself, and he gets to, which is a privilege that I think he felt might never come. So even though Aki is definitely at his wit's end with this, Denji's having the time of his life.
And that's what we love to see. Characters having the time of their life and living their best life. Now, Denji continues to live his best life after his first mission with Aki, because Denji secures the porn, right? And then he decides to go after his goal of touching boobs. What are your thoughts on his goal?
I honestly think this goal is so funny. I know some people like really don't like this about Denji. And the truth is he, I think, is seeking human connection more than he is immediately seeking a pair of knockers. But the fact that he is like, oh, I do need to like settle on something that I want, because otherwise whatever I'm doing isn't going to have purpose. And that he just lands on it so fast and just like puts something out there, and it's the most teenage boy thing that you could ever think of, is hysterical. And probably totally attainable for him at some point. Maybe not. Maybe that will be the journey, but it's so different than any other shonen MCs that I can think of that, like I mentioned earlier, in some ways this show has like flipped parts of the genre entirely on its head, because you would never expect a character to say something that's stupid.
Well, yeah, I guess I kind of jumped the gun when I was talking about this at the last question, but it is just like, it's a very different thing. You know, we're used to our shonen heroes being very like, they have very noble goals, whether it's selfish, selfless, it still is very like, oh, okay, like you have a big dream, or you have something that's like very important to you that like makes sense. Of course, Tanjiro wants to save his sister. Of course, Deku wants to become the number one hero. Like, we see their lives and we're like, that makes sense. But for Denji, it's like, of course you want to like understand what it's like to touch a girl's boobs, you know, like with the life that he's had. I guess it makes sense. Is it funny? Absolutely. But it's kind of fun to have a shonen hero that's just kind of in it for that. But I agree with Emily. I think he more is looking for that human connection. He just doesn't quite understand it yet, because I think he still has a lot to learn about the world and about himself and about human emotions that he's never been able to experience. So I think I could see his desire definitely evolving throughout the show. For now, he's just kind of that like horny teenager, and I can see that really changing as time progresses. We're gonna have to rate this episode R.
We probably will.
M for mature content.
I mean, hey, Chainsaw Man is Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
Lastly, we meet another new character, and her name is Paua, and she's the Blood Fiend. Now, we certainly have a lively trio. We even see her make her first kill on the patrol that they go through against the Sea Cucumber Devil, which, what the the Sea Cucumber Devil? Like, of all things, the most unhinged shit in this show. What do we think of this new player?
I think she's really interesting, and she's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's interesting because, you know, we find out that she is a fiend, which is a devil that took over a human's body, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, which is kind of what Denji is, And that's what he fought, you know, when in the last question, when he found the porn and stuff, and he kind of hesitated, and then he was like, oh, I didn't hesitate because I could be friends with this person. I hesitated because I didn't want to get the blood spatter everywhere on the porn or something like that. But she definitely is an interesting player in the game, because we're seeing it's a devil, but she seems to not necessarily fight for good. She just seems to kind of be like, yeah, I just want to like kill things, but I'm restrained, so I only kill bad things, essentially. And she wants blood, a lot of blood. I think that she has a lot of energy, and she's also one of my favorite characters, surprisingly. A lot of people were surprised when I, in my like cosplay group, when I was like, oh, Power's one of my favorite characters. They're like, really? Doesn't feel right for you. I'm like, what is my brand?
Dark, depressed men.
Or?
Sunshine boys.
Exactly. So that would mean Aki, and I guess Denji is the closest sunshine boy we have in this. But I prefer. Is there a sunshine?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Ain't like, no I'm sunshine like, no. In Chainsaw Man.
Anyway, big entrance for her. Interested to see where it goes. Excited.
I like Power a lot too. I think she's really funny. And for me, I think that I was struck when first watching this and now watching it again, thinking like, I feel like they just introduced almost the same character twice. Like, she reminds me so much of Denji. Like, both in, like, A, kind of how they look. Like part of the design feels, like, symmetrical. But also, just, like, the way she acts is, like, simple. Kind of base. Almost man-like is, like, crude. I don't know. Is, like, the way that I would describe her early scenes, at least. And I think that that's so funny because, for one thing, that means that those two are probably going to butt heads because being really similar can result in that. And that means Aki is going to be exhausted.
Poor Aki.
Poor Aki. But I'm excited to see more of her, but that's my first impression, is that they're like, it's the same font.
Perfect. All right, well, that's all that we really have for these first two episodes. So let's go ahead and hop into our favorite moments. I'll go ahead and start. I think my favorite moment or between the two episodes was definitely the fight scene in episode one. I think that was just really well done. I love all of the gore. I think it made a lot of sense to see how it was done. And I loved watching Pochita Shinzo Sasageyo for Denji.
It's definitely a good one. I think, I mean, obviously giving like a shout out, of course, to the OP and the ending sequences as well, because they're all incredible. In the episode itself, though, I really liked in episode one, Denji making the deal with Pochita, and then Pochita making like the deal later, and like the parallels between those two scenes. And like we talked about, that they're both going to continue to like fill something in each other that they need. I think it like really sets up most of what the story of the show is going to be right there in the first episode, and is really well done.
It's hard to pick a favorite moment. There was a lot of good stuff in these episodes, but I would actually have to say I'm going to go to episode two and just say Aki and Power's introductions. I think both of them were introduced so well. Both characters have a lot of character already, with Aki even mentioning a little bit about his backstory when he talks about the police officers at this house that, you know, he's had drinks with, he's known since he was a kid. Definitely made him a little bit more mysterious, but also made us understand him a little bit more. So I'll give it to both of their character introductions, because I'm really excited to see more of them.
All right. And with that, it's time for our secret of the day. I don't know what era to call this, because it's 1997. So our 90s era secret, our Spice Girl era secret. I don't know. Do the Spice Girls exist in the Chainsaw Man universe?
Wait, Chainsaw Man is supposed to be 1997?
Correct.
Huh. I thought it was present day, honestly.
Same. I didn't realize that it was 1997 until I realized that they weren't using like DVD players, but they were having VHSs. Mm. And there's like a manga chapter with VHSs and stuff like that. And I was like, Interesting.
I guess it's because the 90s fashion is so in right now that I was just like, ah, they look like what you would wear now.
Yeah. Granted, their outfits are pretty simple. Black pants, white shirt, and a tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, the secret of today is going to be Chainsaw Man has actually made a crossover into My Hero Academia. Surprisingly, the main protagonist has been seen in My Hero Academia and Chapter 259. The name of the chapter is A Quiet Beginning, and it was released on February 2022. Denji can be seen in the Paranormal Liberation Front Raid Team. This chapter also introduced us to Selkie for the first time. I don't know who Selkie is. I can't remember My Hero that well. But if you're looking at the picture of it, you can see him right behind Fat Gum Guy. So that's fun. But that's all we got for today. So without further ado, we say goodbye and we say to next week. So don't forget to give us a shout out on Twitter at Hashira Half Hour. Go ahead and give us a follow on Instagram at Hashira Half Hour. On X, we're at Hashira Half. If you like the podcast, just go ahead and give us a download from wherever you're listening from. That's going to help us get some more traction going on here. And then lastly, of course, we just hope you enjoyed the episodes. We hope that you guys enjoy that we're switching up things. And soon we'll be getting back to Demon Slayer once it comes out.
And thank you again to the sponsor of today's video, Tokyo Treat. Remember, if you're interested in jumping right into Sakura season with the rest of us, you can get your own Tokyo Treat box by checking out the link in our description below. And make sure to use code Hashira for $5 off your first box. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Kon.
Kon.
Kon.